After a hokey-cokey of inspections, Leopardstown got underway on Sunday for the Dublin Racing Festival, and we had a magnificent 2 days of racing, including brighter days ahead, becoming new favourite for the champion hurdle. It wasn't to be, though, for Galopin Deschamps in the Irish Gold Cup on Monday. All of that and more, including Frankie's farewell, on this week's Front Page. Hello there and welcome along to this week's edition of The Front Page. I'm your host, Maddie Playle, for today's show, and I'm joined by our Lambourne correspondent, Liam Head, alongside me on the sofa. And also we've got our deputy industry editor, Pete Scargill, joining us from afar as well. A cold hasn't been enough to stop him joining us. And of course we have the small matter of the Dublin Racing Festival to cover. Didn't happen on Saturday as planned. That card postponed to Monday, but we did get Sunday's action. That was after a whole host of market changes. Will it go ahead? Will it not? Seemed to be a million and one different plans flying around. Tickets for Saturday were refunded. Mondays were half price. Liam, it's been a bit of a roller coaster, especially for us trying to cover it, knowing what's put on the front page, etc., etc. Are you happy with ultimately how things played out?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, at the end of the day, we got to see 2 days of top quality racing. You know, there was obviously a lot of talk going into the sort of the latter parts of the week where, you know, a lot of this rain was coming in. We seen the videos on social media from Leopardstown, and the floods there at the start of the week. You just thought this was never going to happen. 2 days later, it was completely cleared. Unfortunately, we obviously didn't get the racing on Saturday as planned, but it was great that the track and officials there were able to accommodate that, and I moved Saturday's car to Monday, and then obviously we got Sunday's racing as well. So you've got to give full credit to everyone involved to making the smooth transition.
I think so. I mean, we may not have been at Leopardstown, but we were speaking to a lot of the key players, and it seems like everyone did their absolute utmost to get it on. Pete, nevertheless, there was a lot of hokey-cokey about whether it will go ahead beforehand. Do you think a decision should have been made earlier?
Yeah, that would probably be my only takeaway in terms of what could have been better, Maddie. I'm not a man for optimism. I'm a man for pragmatism. And I think, we all kind of thought Friday afternoon that Saturday was going to be off. So the fact that they moved on to Saturday morning for the inspection and then it was called off sort of seems slightly unnecessary to me. But they did an excellent job in getting the meeting on, having the Monday of the Dublin Racing Festival instead of the Saturday. I just think, personally, they probably could have made the call on the Friday and saved us all of the Saturday morning shenanigans, but that would only be a minor wrinkle, really.
Okay, let's move on to talk about the action on track then. So many changes to the anti-post markets. First up, Talk the Talk beat Ballyfad in a real cracking finish to the Grade 1 novice hurdle. We also had El Cairo early in the week. He won at Thurles, made another mistake at the final fence. Some betting. Talk the Talk now 5-1. El Cairo 6s, Ballyfad 10s. And Mossy Fen Road, another key runner this weekend. He was beaten at 1-3 at Musselburgh. He's now out to 50-1. But Old Park Star still holding sway in the market. Pete, Talk the Talk. Did he talk the talk for you on this occasion?
Well, look, he's a horse who's got a big reputation, which goes with his name, I suppose, and the fact that he managed to get up and win that race when it didn't all go smoothly for him is testament to his talents. But when you're measuring his performance against what we've seen with Old Park Star, for example, is it difficult to come away thinking that's my supreme novice hurdle winner? I mean, it's certainly the case with El Kairos. I know others have expressed a view to the value of his form so far, but nothing's blown anyone away like Old Park Star has so far, have they? So I'm not sure those three horses involved at the finish on Sunday necessarily advanced themselves beyond him. I don't know what you made of it.
Yeah, I thought he did well in the circumstances. Came from much further back than Ballyfad and King Rasco Grey. Jumping looked to be better. That was a quibble of a few people last time, Talk the Talker. And I think it'd probably be better on better ground as well. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so. I think like Pete said, he's obviously built up quite a reputation now, obviously for the Double Green team as well. And he definitely showed his class and the sort of real tenacity to get there and get his head in front, and certainly make up the ground that he did to beat Ballyfad. Obviously, it was a very close photo finish as well, wasn't it? So he's definitely thrown his name into the ring. But like we've just said there, I think out of all the sort of supreme sort of trials we've seen so far, I think the only one you can really come away from and be really impressed by is Old Park Star. His victory in the Rossington Main at Haydock, you know, a race that Henderson's used before for some of his supreme horses. I think that was just one of the performances, certainly of the last few months we've seen. You know, the speed he showed, the way he really throwed himself over those hurdles as well. I think he's the one that they all have to beat in the first race of the festival.
With that in mind, do you think 2-1's quite a tasty price then?
Yes, I do think so. I think at this stage we've kind of probably seen all the, you know, the main supreme contenders sort of run their race. Mm. Obviously, things can change in the market. The ground will obviously, well, it could change between now and from what we've seen over the weekend. There is definitely value in there, and it sounds like that's the route connections are going to go down as well. So at the moment, I think it is good value.
Yeah, I'm almost surprised he's not a bit shorter, Pete, given the hype around him. Where are the Scargill Millions going to be going in the Supreme?
I'm not sure. The Supreme Novices Hurdle was a great race to be putting anyone's millions, frankly. We're at the stage now whereby, you know, there's not a lot of sense in getting stuck into a favourite, I would argue, at this point. You know, we've got, what, 6 weeks of the festival, just under 6 weeks of the festival. So I've been impressed with Old Park Star in terms of what he's done. It's not an original view, but he was very impressed how he broke the other horses in that race up at Haydock. He was quickening all the way. His jumping was excellent. So visually, he was a very impressive horse that day. And I don't think anything has stepped forward to make you think he looks more vulnerable. So he's the horse that I would like to see win the race. Is that enough of a fudged answer for you, Manny?
I'll take it. One horse whose reputation wasn't done any favours on Sunday. There were a couple, but Final Demand was probably the main culprit. He's now 7-2 joint favourite for the Brown Advisory, along with his Leopardstown Conqueror, Kay Doty. Never looked to really be going with much zest and made some odd shapes at his jumps. Eventually came home a very tired horse in third. This was not a performance they were expecting from the big hype talking horse of the season, Liam, still favourite for the Cheltenham Festival. How much effort and skill is that going to take for Willie Mullins to get a different performance out of him in just a couple of weeks' time?
Yeah, based on what we've seen, you know, you're kind of coming away from that race sort of scratching your head at what we've really seen. I mean, if there's anyone to completely turn the form around as a trainer, it is Willie Mullins, but I think even he'll be puzzled at what he's seen. I think just even so early on into the race, that Final Demand, just you could see something wasn't right, and the jumping was a bit erratic.
Kept putting down, didn't he?
Yeah, it didn't really fill you with confidence. And when you get into this stage of the season now, where it's going to be the last run for these horses before the Cheltenham Festival, you want to see something that's going to sort of fill you with confidence going into that meeting, and that was the complete opposite from what we saw from Final Demand. Very, very concerning to see, given how well he started the season as well. I just think he would have been the one that a lot of people would have had almost nailed on for the Brown Advisory based on what we've seen in his first two starts of the season. But after Sunday, that's just blown that market completely wide open. But take nothing away from the winner. I thought it was a fantastic performance, and it was great to see Mark Walsh land a big one for JP after, yeah, you know, a difficult few weeks for the jockey.
Yeah, big two. We'll talk about Majbro in just a second. Wide open market for the Brown Advisory. You've got Wendigo, who won last week, looking pretty at 7-1. Western Folds in there as well. And we've got to mention 6 Mile Bridge, Pete, who won the Scilly Isles in Britain. That was a performance to give you some confidence going forward.
Very much so. Not a good weekend for Willie Mullins with his 3 Mile Novice Chases, with Kitzbühel throwing himself and unseating poor Paul Town in the Sandown as well. So you're not coming away with a great deal of confidence on those two, are you? Final Demand and Kitzbühel. 6 Mile Bridge did nothing wrong. You know, what that race amounts to, I don't know. 3 runners. But it was a good, solid performance. He jumped well. Goes to Cheltenham off the back of a good run in that sense. I was interested, you mentioned Wendigo, I was interested to see what our Lambourne man made of that performance and what the vibes were afterwards from Jamie Snowden Hotel. Liam, what have they had to say about him. Presumably pretty comfortable going into Cheltenham, are they?
Yeah, I think the important thing was to get him back, certainly on a left-handed track. Obviously he ran well in the Corto Star at Kempton, but I think in terms of the track going right-handed and the ground wasn't really to suit. I think they wanted to get him back round left-handed. I think Air was the only one the only race really that screamed out. And I think I've spoken to Jamie Snowden many a times about this horse, and he clearly thinks the world of him. And I think he's just a genuine stayer, and I think he's going to improve for a trip. And others talk of him possibly even being a Grand National horse in the future as well. So I just think there's a lot to like about this horse. You know, the race at Airy won it wasn't the most competitive affairs by no stretch of the imagination, but it's a one next to his name, and you couldn't have really asked for a better performance going into the Cheltenham Festival.
He reminds me of Many Clouds. I think he's got those sort of looks, and of course the noseband helps as well, but he looks like a real old-fashioned chaser. Talking about preps though, wouldn't you rather a little run around in a Barry Connell might call it a Mickey Mouse race like that at Ayr, rather than, you know, struggling out the mud at Leopardstown? How relevant do we think those performances are going to be going forward to Cheltenham? We don't know how different conditions are going to be, obviously, but can't be ideal for these horses.
In terms of sort of having to go to Ayr?
No, of Leopardstown and having a tough race there and then trainers having to get them back. You know, it's going to be different conditions at Cheltenham in a usual year anyway.
Yeah, I think so. And that's what I mean. It's hard to really stand the form up of a lot of the races we've seen over the 2 days at Leopardstown, because you'd like to think, like you said, the ground should be a little bit quicker, really, and drier, certainly, from... obviously, we're still 6 weeks out from the festival, so we don't know exactly how the weather for the next few weeks is going to fare. But you'd like to think that the ground's going to be in better condition, and a lot of these horses who may have underperformed at the Dublin Racing Festival could definitely improve with the quicker service.
What about Mashburgh then? We mentioned him. That was the real Mashburgh in the Dublin Chase. Much better jumping, a forceful ride from Mark Walsh, as Liam's touched upon. A great day for the jockey on Sunday. Pete, will the real Mashburgh please stand up? He certainly did for us. Are we going to see that again at Cheltenham? Can we trust this horse to keep his jumping up to scratch? Or do you think the heavy ground had something to do with it?
Well, this is it, isn't it? You say we saw the real Mashburgh, but so far the real measure has been pretty disappointing. So is the horse we saw on Sunday the exception, or is the horse that we saw on Sunday the actual horse, if that makes sense? So his jumping was impeccable. At no point did he look in danger, and he broke all the other horses, again, including Marine Nationale. If that was what you could expect from Mashburgh, then the Queen Mother Champion Chase would be game over, wouldn't it? He was by far the best horse in that race, and he's got the horses in there to give him a strong line of form for the meeting. But would you trust a horse who's done what he's done over fences this season, and frankly last season as well, to turn up and do the job at Cheltenham? I'm not sure I would, but I'm a less trusting sort than you, Manny.
I don't know. I'm a bit of a cynic as well. I wouldn't trust him, especially on better ground when there's pace pressure on at Cheltenham with those stiff fences. I just think, will he meet one wrong and then belt it? And that could be the end of his chance in a Champion Chase. But it's a wide open race. Marie Nationale, well, all the talk was of him beforehand, Barry Connell, and he was no match for Mashburgh. He's 5-2 now for the Champion Chase. Interesting market, isn't it? I mean, we've got John Bond coming up in the Ascot Chase. We don't know where he's going to go for the JP team, but if Mashburgh could reproduce that effort, he'd be a serious chance.
Yeah, 100%. Just on the John Bond point you make there, I think it's pretty nailed on that he'll probably go for the Ryanair. So I think that.
Do you think?
I think so. If they're going to go for the Ascot Chase, they're obviously thinking now's the time to step him up in trip. I think he's been screaming out for that step up. So I think that sort of takes the JP sort of equation out of it a little bit. And I think Mashburgh, yeah, he will have a good chance in the Champion Chase. It was a great performance, but you could look at it two ways. You could say, right, Mashburgh, did he blow the field apart, or did the field just not really show the levels of ability they've shown before? Marine Nationale, I know that Sean Flanagan said straight after the race that the ground probably caught them out a little bit. Obviously, a lot of his form has come on better ground. We know what he can do at Cheltenham Marine Nationale, so you'd like to think that that in 6 weeks' time they'll be stripped and ready for the run and bring the fight to Majbury again. As Pete alluded to, we've seen the very highs of Majbury's jumping there on Sunday, but we've also seen the very lows of his jumping already this season as well. So the consistency thing is a worry, and I'm sure that would probably put a lot of people off. He's a good horse, and he deserves to take his chance. He's got good form at Cheltenham as well. So I think it's such a wide open market as you say, and I do think it's anyone's there for the taking.
I'm sitting pretty on my load of sud docket. Not saying he's going to win, but I thought he was a cracking each way price a couple of weeks ago, and he's going to come in there fresh. I mean, I know he was disappointing last time, but we know what he can do at Cheltenham, so I'm happy on that front. You'll be happy if you back Brighter Days Ahead for the Champion Hurdlers. She reversed festive form with Lossiemouth in the Irish Champion Hurdle on Sunday. She's now 5-2 joint favourite for the Champion Hurdle alongside the New Lion. Lossiemouth, do we think now she's going to go to the mares? She's now been strengthened up in the market for the race. She's won for the last 2 years. This was a very fascinating race, Pete Scargill. I know that some of our colleagues, Graham Rodway, Robbie Wilders, they thought that Brighter Days Ahead was absolutely going to win on Sunday. It was her race, and that it would give Willie Mullins the perfect opportunity to reroute Lossiemouth to the mares, if indeed he was ever going to go that way. What do you think of these two mares? Because they're clearly so much better than the geldings. It brings up this golden ace conundrum again. Which race do you go for?
Yeah, it's a difficult one in that sense, in that you've got the conundrum. I suppose perhaps it won't be difficult for connections to make their decisions in the end. Chris Cook has written in today's Front Runner about his despair with Lossiemouth and the fact that she might go for the mares hurdle again rather than the champion hurdle. He points out that perhaps the only thing in her favour for going for the champion hurdle rather than the mares would be the fact that Willie Mullins doesn't really have anything else for the race. But being the pragmatic man he is, you'd think that the opportunity to go for the mares hurdle will probably be quite high up. You know, she's a past winner of the race, and probably no reason to change in that respect. So the fact that she was beaten by Brighter Days Ahead probably only helps in that respect. Brighter Days Ahead kind of falls into the same category as Majbury to some extent. I mean, how much can you trust her, given that she's gone to Cheltenham as a hot pot several times and been beaten, including by Golden Ace? So it's a funny one, the champion hurdle. I mean, you've still got Constitution Hill in there at quite a short price, given all of his travails. It's hard to look away from the top of the market to me, really, because you've got a solid horse in there. I don't know if I'd trust Brighter Days Ahead going back to Cheltenham, given her past performances there.
I'd be in the same boat as you. I think the New Lion is the right favourite, but I was smiling throughout the latter half of that segment because we were having a chat in the office this morning, and I made the argument that I think I'm going to back Constitution Hill for the Champion Hurdle. Please don't turn off. Please continue watching. I just think at the prices, at 6-1, Liam, you know, we're going to see him out at Southall. Yes, that's not going to be massively relevant to the champion hurdle, but Yogi Bryson is working with him on his jumping, so that suggests he's at least going to be given a chance to run in the race. Previous winner. We know that if he stood up in this field, he could probably run £10 below his best and he would still win. I just think from a pure betting and logic standpoint, 6-1 is a good price. I mean, Sergino, unfortunately, we're not going to see him. Golden Ace was no match for Sergino and was fortunate to win last year, as admirable as she is. Yes, standing up has to be factored into that price, but on balance, I think he could do it. I really do. What do you say?
Yeah, I mean, he could. Like, anything's possible. Listen, we... not a show goes by now with this week are we talking about this horse, and he's obviously the people's horse, and you know, people love to talk about him and they want to find everything that's going on about
him. I mean, as Lambourne correspondent, do you just get inundated with people saying, what's he doing this week, how did the stalls practice go, etc.
yeah, and listen, it's it gets to a point where sometimes you just think, oh, here we go again, we're talking about the same horse. But I think that's just because of the draw that he brings in. Obviously, he's certainly one of the best hurdling performances I've ever seen was in the Supreme a few years ago. He obviously backed that up with the Champion Hurdle win in 2023. He, like you said, he's the winner of the race before. You know, a lot of things have to fall in his place for him to turn up at the Cheltenham Festival on the opening day in March. You know, he's obviously got to get through this this flat debut that he's going to be supposedly having at Southall on the 20th of February. I was fortunate enough to be there last week, down at Charlie Hills, actually. And obviously I took that video of him coming out of the stalls, Constitution Hill, with therapist stablemate, who's obviously been on the flat and who worked with him round the Newbury Gallop as well. And I mean, you only have to look at how viral that video clip went. I mean, I seen it on TikTok, Instagram, X, you know, and everyone was getting, you know, everyone has their own opinions. Everyone's thinking, why on earth is this horse, this Champion Hurdle winning horse, why on earth is he going on the flat? You know, but like you said, that they're obviously keeping all the options open because Yogi Bryson is coming in this week to do a bit of work with the horse. So connections are obviously still thinking that there is a possibility. I think based on what happened, the unfortunate incident with Sergino, which ruled him out for the season, I think it looks more of a case of Constitution Hill will turn up in the Champion Hurdle because Nicky Henderson won't have anything else in the race. And
he's not going to run Old Park Star there, is he?
Exactly. And if the Henderson can't believe that he's got the capabilities of going in that race, and if he stays up, you know, he will be really hard to beat, but it's just about staying up. I mean, that's the problem. He's had those heavy falls in the last few runs, and it's just about getting him back on his feet and giving a bit of confidence. And I think that is probably one of the reasons why they're going to Southall for the flat race. I think just to get a bit of confidence into the horse, let him have a good experience on a racetrack, you know, albeit it's a completely different situation on the all-weather at Southall to the Champion Hurdle at Cheltenham. But I think it's exciting, and it would be one fairy tale story if he was to turn up and win the race. So that's exciting. The other thing I would say, just on what we've seen over the weekend, I know last week I was on the show saying, almost pleading to the Willie Mullins camp, just saying, let Lossie Miles take a chance in the Champion Hurdle. I still would like to see her in the Champion Hurdle, just to give the race a bit more firepower.
Do you think she'd win it?
I don't think she'd win it, so I think that's why that's going to change the Rich Ritchie's mind and Willie Mullins' mind, and I think that's why we'll probably see her in the Mayor's Hurdle now. So it's exciting. Brighter Days Ahead deserves her chance. I think obviously she finished fourth in the race last year, but she when she won at Leopardstown over the Christmas period before the Champion Hurdle, that was her last run before she went to Cheltenham. So she's had this run now, so she's got a bit more experience under her belt. So I think they've just got to roll the dice and go for it.
Absolutely fascinating, isn't it? I know we like to see these favourites win and all the rest of it, but it throws these contests wide open, generates lots of really interesting discussion. I know people are fed up of hearing about Constitution Hill, and sometimes, you know, I'm sure we can all agree with that, but at the same time, it's good for the sport to talk about these wonderful horses. Who's going to ride him? Do we have confirmation yet? Ashim Murphy was throwing his hat into the ring, of course. Rob Hornby rides out of Seven Barrows. Any ideas on that front?
Yeah, I remember when we first heard about this flat outing, and I was in the office with a few people, and you know, everyone was throwing different names into that, and I actually said Rob Hornby and I got a few laughs out of people, but I think a lot of people didn't realise that he has been riding out at Seven Barrows for a bit. He obviously he's rode Constitution Hill before. He rode for Nicky Henderson at that Gallops morning as well. I think he rode therapist that day back in November. And I think his partner also works at Seven Barrows. So there is a good connection there already. Henderson obviously knows him. But Nicky obviously said that Michael Buckley, the owner, has been in discussions with Ocean Murphy. So I think if Ocean Murphy is available and in the country, I think he would probably be the one to ride him. But I think if the opportunity comes, you've kind of got to make yourself available if that's the opportunity there.
Yeah, so exciting, isn't it? Let us know who you'd put on Constitution Hill and what you thought of all the Dublin Racing Festival action on Sunday. We'll get across to Monday's card just after this. It wasn't to be four Irish Gold Cups for Galopin Deschamps on Monday. We had a new kid on the block. His stablemate Factor File landed the race absolutely in superb style from Gaelic Warrior. Galopin Deschamps just holding on for third place, and this has caused a big shifty in the Cheltenham Antipost markets. Liam, the Irish Gold Cup winner, not even entered in the Gold Cup itself at Cheltenham. 25 grand to supplement. What do you think JP McManus is going to do?
Well, JP last year paid that price for, I know the way you're thinking, obviously finished fourth in the Irish Gold Cup before going on to win the Cheltenham feature. So I think from an operator like JP McManus, I think on the basis of what we've seen today, I think you've kind of got to go for the big race, haven't you? I mean, showed brilliant speed to pull away from Gaelic Warrior. And like you said, the new kid on the block, he stays and stays, and I just think you've got to go for the biggest race of the week.
That John Durkin form from earlier this season well and truly reversed, the 1-2 in the other way round. My analysis of this race, Pete, is that Willie Mullins wants to win as many Cheltenham Festival races as he can. We sort of got that indication that he wants to go to the Ryanair by the fact Factor File didn't get any other entries at Cheltenham. Gaelic Warrior could be his Ryanair horse, but I don't think he's nailed on enough for that contest that would make Mullins very happy to go for the Gold Cup. So I guess we're going to get potentially a clashing of powers in the run-up to the festival. What do you make of all this interesting political movements inside Clisson?
Sure, and we know about, we talked about Willie Mullins' preference for his pragmatism, I should say, when we're talking about Lossiemouth and which way she might go for earlier. So, yeah, look, Factor File's only entered in the Ryanair. That's a pretty good indicator. But at the same time, with another poor performance from I Know the Way You're Thinking, you know, he's got to be very questionable about lining up. And who's JP got? He's got
Iron Maximus. Do you want
to? Yeah. I'm just trying to think who you know. You could go potentially to the Cheltenham Gold Cup with a horse of the talent of Factor File, or you could go with perhaps a more second-rate bunch. And obviously he's got John Bond for the Ryanair chase. So I suspect the run-up to the supplementary on March the 7th might be quite interesting between those groups. There's probably more to think about than I suspect they imagined going into the race. And also note that Liam's got another favourite in Lambourne to keep an eye on now that Django Bay's favourite in some places for the Gold Cup market. So Liam is going to be the most important man in the run-up to Cheltenham this year.
You say it as if he isn't already. He's our key correspondent. We spoke about Constitution Hill earlier as well, so that's going to have a part to play as we build up to the festival. Sad that Galopin Deschamps couldn't make history here, Liam. Still a very creditable run in third. What about his future now? Should this be his last run? Should this be his last season? Do you think he can improve on this, given what we saw?
Willie Mullins was quick to allude to the fact that the tough run that he had in the Savills Chase over Christmas. Obviously, we knew when he was going for that run that he wasn't 100% match fit. Obviously, it would have been great for the Irish crowd had Galopin gone on to do the unprecedented 4 in a row. But take nothing away from what he's achieved up to now. You know, he ran a credible third, you know, finished on strong to the line. Yes, it wasn't sort of the performance we would have hoped for in, you know, a big race like this, but I do think that they're going to have one last crack at the Gold Cup in March, and then I think they might sort of let him sort of retire on a high after that.
I guess the thing is with him, we're so used to seeing him put in monstrous, real powerful, hard finishing performances. You just can't do that with any more regularity. I mean, he's been doing it for years and years, and that's testament to him in itself. But the way in which he races and jumps quite aggressively, quite boldly, maybe that's finally just took its toll.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, it's for a horse of that calibre, you know, you can't have them 100% with every run that they have. You know, they've got to improve from some performances. And I think now, given the fact that he's going to have a decent sort of 6 weeks off the track now to sort of get stripped ready for the race. Listen, he probably won't go in there as Willie Mullins' his number one pick for the Gold Cup if the winner has anything to say by it. So, like I said, it's a wide open market, and I'm sure there'll be a few British trainers that would have been keeping a close eye on that performance.
Indeed. And the curious case, we've already touched on it a little bit, but of I Know the Way You're Thinking, fell at the last, a horrible fall, Pete. We were talking about it just moments ago. Thankfully, he got up. Curious market moves with this horse. He was a big drifter again, but then came back into around the 16-1 mark. Last year's Gold Cup winner. What's been going on? Do you think he can recapture that glory? Is this part of a bigger plan of Gavin Cromwell, who we should remember has not had the best season? Or do you think he's just a lost hope at this stage?
Well, if it's a bigger plan, it would be good if, you know, we could get some insight into it, because I tell you what, they've been woeful performances from that horse this season. It would be good to know how they're thinking if this is the way a horse is prepped for a Cheltenham Gold Cup. It was a really, really tired fall. I mean, he just flopped over that last fence. Obviously, good that he got up, but you know, an exhausted-looking horse at the end of that race today. Look, I'm not a jump trainer. I'm not a Gold Cup winning trainer, but you know, I'd be worried myself about running a horse at the Cheltenham Festival off the back of that. He's given you no indication that you'd want to be running in the biggest race of the year in 6 weeks' time.
That aside, and as I say, glad that he's up and seemingly okay, it was a race chock full of talent, a great field, lots of depth to it. Is there anything else we could take out of the race, Liam? We were saying in the office here, a couple sort of ran nice Grand National trials. I thought Monty Starr ran a bold race for a long way. I Am Maximus again stayed on at the death. Would you be keeping on your eye on anything anti-post?
I thought I Am Maximus ran another great race. We obviously know his capabilities of what he's achieved in his career, and I still feel like the sort of the flame is burning bright with that horse. You know, I do feel like he will have needed that run, and I think he's got a nice prize in him between now and the end of the season.
Certainly, I think Ruby Walsh put him up for the Gold Cup earlier this season, so he clearly hasn't lost the faith. He's on the inside line at Willie Mullins' yard. They'll be very happy, though, after the opening race on Monday, because Dr. Steinberg won, and he now looks on track for a Cheltenham Festival bid. Same stable had Narcisco, has unlined his Triumph Hurdle credentials. And then we had Romeo Culio getting the better of the Mullins horse Cargese in the Irish Arkle. What a finish that was. Any takeaways, Pete, from the final day of the Dublin Racing Festival?
Only that I'm just a bit confused about Romeo Culio, so I'm scratching my head with confusion. He always sort of looks beat in these 2 mile races, or 2 mile one as it is at Leopardstown, and he comes through and he finishes strongly, and he was probably more value for that winning margin than he actually won by in the end. It was one ahead, but he was much in control. So I'm trying to think whether they're going to stick with their original plan of going to the Arkle, or whether they'll end up going for the Ryan. I suspect they'll go against the novices in the Arkle, and you can just see him being in all sorts of trouble coming down the hill, but finishing like an absolute train. So Romeo Culio is an interesting horse. I mean, I just wonder whether today's performance has put some doubt in their mind, even if they do end up going for the Arkle anyway.
Well, Django Bay certainly put in a strong staying performance to win the race last year. Liam, what about you finally?
I just think from a Lamboin point of view, I think the Arkle, I think Lou Lamber, I think it's his to lose. Obviously, he's running this weekend at Newbury. I don't think the Henderson camp would be too worried with what they've seen from Romeo Culio. I think looking from the outside, I think that's the takeaway I have from the meeting.
Plenty of takeaways there from the Dublin Racing Festival, but now it's time for your racing roundup. Welcome back to this final instalment of The Front Page. Last week, there was big news. Coral are ending their sponsorship of the Coral Cup after an incredible stint. Pete Scargill as our deputy industry editor. What did you make of this news? You know, obviously there's headwinds in the betting industry, dealing with shop closures, affordability checks, etc., etc. Did you see this as sort of a political move or an economic one? What's your analysis?
Yeah, I mean, it's overtly a financial one. Simon Clare, who's the man at Entain, the parent company of Coral and Ladbrokes, came out when the race sponsorship ending was announced and said, look, we've got to pay more tax now. There were tax raises announced in the budgets at the back end of last year. And he said, you know, this is a sponsorship we're not going to carry on. So given that Coral have sponsored that race since 1993, since it was created, and more broadly at the Cheltenham Festival since the 70s. The fact they're not going to be represented this year is notable in itself. I mean, Coral would take a particularly long-term view of their race sponsorships. You think of the Coral Eclipse and the Coral Welsh National and the Coral Scottish National races they've all sponsored for a long time. So the fact they've elected to remove themselves from the Cheltenham Festival, from a race they've been associated with to the extent that everyone will continue to call it the Coral Cup, even when it's not the Coral Cup anymore, and to say this is because of tax rises, that's the notable element of it, you know? That's the bit that's going to make people sit back and go, okay, this stuff they were talking about before the budget about racing being impacted by the tax rises, even if it's not being directly taxed more, is coming through. And obviously, in terms of punters, that's probably something to be concerned about as well, because as well as race sponsorship and discretionary spend on marketing, bookies talked about cutting back on offers for punters. So the fact they follow through with cutting a notable race sponsorship probably means that punters aren't going to be in a great position as the year goes on as well, I'm afraid.
Yes, I mentioned it being a sort of, it's almost a political statement in a way to sort of say, well, the chickens have come home to roost now, you know, just before Cheltenham, this is our race that we've been attached to for such a long time, not any longer, you know, the realities are hitting home there. I guess as a watcher of racing, as a lover of racing, it's nice to have these long-standing sponsorships, and we've seen it with the likes of the Ladbrokes Gold Cup at the Hennessy, everyone still calls it the Hennessy, don't they? You know, it's nice to have that continuity and familiarity, I guess. And it seems at Cheltenham these days that the sponsorships just seem to bounce from one brand to another.
Well, actually, I mean, that in one respect is a positive because it shows that Cheltenham and the Jockey Club are able to draw in new sponsors. As a new sponsor for the Arkle this year with Singing Capital Markets, their first sponsorship in racing. So, you know, there's still an appetite there for people to be involved, which would give you confidence that there'll be a new sponsor for the Coral Cup before this year's meeting. But it's, you know, I suppose, yes, it is a political decision because, you know, they chose not to carry on doing the race sponsorship, Carl. But at the same time, you know, it's showing that the sabre rattling before the budget wasn't just that. I mean, it's something that racing will have to factor in to what's going forward, because presumably other bookmakers will be looking at their race sponsorships, they'll be looking at their pot they have for backing races and what they get out of it, most importantly, and perhaps, you know, cutting their cloth accordingly, which I suppose means racing's going to have to perhaps look in different areas than it has done at the moment. But yeah, it was notable that, say, they followed through with what happened beforehand. So we'll have to see who the new Coral Cup sponsor is at the time and whether they can deal with being called the old Coral Cup anyway.
Yeah, would you be able to put a ballpark figure on roughly how much it would cost to sponsor a race at Cheltenham? I mean, we were discussing in the office the other day, right, it used to be the Racing Post Arkle, and I was sort of thinking, I wonder how much that would cost to have a you know, a big race at the marquee meeting. Would you have any idea on that front?
I'm going to slightly fudge my answer. It will depend on, obviously, how long the contract's for, and it will depend on what activations the sponsor wants to get out of it, how much they want to do with it, but it's normally a percentage of the overall value of the race. I don't know what percentage it is, but it's going to be, you know, in the thousands of pounds anyway.
Yeah, certainly. Thought it was worth a try anyway, Pete.
It's just because I don't know, Maddie. It's not your fault. It's just that I don't have your information, I'm afraid.
Well, neither do I. That's why I asked the question. Moving on, one man who we're not going to see in the saddle again is Frankie Dettori. He bowed out. I was up late last night covering the action in Brazil, Liam. And what a way to sign off in the Brazilian 2000 Guineas with Bet You Can. He also rode a horse called Lucky Time, which I thought that these names are just falling right into place for Frankie Dettori. Looked as good as ever riding at age 55, but the curtain has finally come down on his career now. What a journey.
Yeah, I mean, such a unique character, someone who's just been there and done it in this sport for so many years. I think just the longevity of his career and what he's done in that time span makes him arguably the greatest flat jockey we've ever seen. I just think the achievements, the highs he's reached, he's just been at the pinnacle of flat racing for a long amount of time, and it's great to see. And listen, I mean, if anyone was going to win on the final meeting, it was going to be Frankie. Obviously, he's done this South American farewell tour, and now he's won in Brazil to follow up wins in, I think it was Uruguay and Argentina, was it, I think?
Sounds about right, yeah, to me. He's been all over the place.
Yeah, but it shows that the man he is. Obviously, we had a lot of great insights to his final few days in the saddle with our very own Lee Mottisset out in Rio, with some brilliant videos on social media, and so that was great to see. And listen, he's had a hell of a career, and it was, you know, you do question yourself, thinking, why should he stop if he's still winning at the top level in these countries? But listen, I think it's time to pass the baton on now. And you know, he's still going to be an ever present in the sport. He's got this new role with Amo Racing now to look forward to. And I think now we can just look back on all the great memories that we've had from him.
Yeah, that too. He's not been shied away from controversy either, though. Remember the cocaine ban for 6 months in 2012, and then, of course, the bankruptcy announcement and tax debt last year, Pete. But Frankie's appeal is enduring, and what he's achieved for the sport, you know, notwithstanding those notes that I just said, he's been a colossal figure for many, many years.
Absolutely. And at times he's carried the sport, you know, without wanting to make it too over the top. You know, the times when he's been on a roll with his rides, those bookmaker liabilities. You remember back in 2019 when he was winning so many races, bookmakers were having to cap the number of multiples that people could have. Yeah, look, you know, he's caused a controversy at time. I think some people have grown a little bit weary of the extended retirement tour. We've been going over to America and then this bit, but you know, leaving aside all of that, I think it pays not to be too cynical when looking back on Frankie's career. He's been a magnificent rider, a great personality, a net positive for racing. It's great that he's staying in the sport. I'll be interested to see how he adapts to this new role with Amo Racing. I don't know whether his personality will be able to be contained within that sort of administrative role, but I guess we'll see what comes of it. But yes, it just seemed appropriate that we got another flying dismount, another big winner, and Frankie riding off into the sunset with Lee. Very nice.
Yeah, as Liam mentioned, Lee Mottisshead was out there and did some wonderful pieces, so check out that on the Racing Post website. We bid farewell to Frankie, and we also bid farewell to you. That's all we have time for on today's front page. As always, let us know your thoughts in the comments, and we'll see you again in a week's time. Bye-bye.